and gentlemen.
Let's go.
Where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at?
Well, actually, I live in Delaware now, so does that make me a Delawarean?
Keep singing, girl.
You know, Beyonce is my friend in my head. They my people sometimes, too. You know, when I was a kid, I had an imaginary enemy. Like, does that make me crazy?
Life as P, presented by Say What Radio.
Hey, yo, what the deal is? Welcome to Life as P. I'm your host, Phoenix Ash. If you are a first-time listener, I appreciate you giving the show a shot. Welcome. If you are a repeat listener, you already know. I so appreciate you. Got so much love. Thank you for sticking it out with me, going through all my life lessons, because Lord knows I'm learning a lot. Lord knows. So I'm trying to think of like what the theme has been for the week, or I should say weeks, because I kind of been up and down with, you know, recording a show. I'm going through an incredible amount of transition. I finally sold my house, but we haven't moved into the new house yet. So we haven't closed yet. So a lot of transition. There was a time where, y'all, I didn't have anywhere to live. Me and my daughter, you know, stayed at a hotel for a couple of days. It was crazy. It's the first time in my life anything like that has happened. So blessed to be able to have people in my life who support me and be able to afford to stay in a hotel. But it was really like just not having the stability. Even now, like, you know, we're staying with family in the interim, and just not being on my own, having my own, is like really different for me. And it's an incredible adjustment. So glad that I don't have to adjust for very long, because soon come on this house. It's just been, whew, whew. My adulting has been tested. My temperament has been tested. Just everything. I constantly feel like I'm on edge. I'm taken to the brink of like, am I going to flip? And I've had some difficult discussions with some friends, and I just feel like there's been a lot of emotional work that has been done. But, you know, I'm not crazy enough to work it out on my own. There's just too much of it, and too much at stake. You know, if I'm not mentally healthy, you know, who am I going to be for my daughter? That, like, you know, sacrificing my mental state just for the sake of toughening through, or, you know, being the world's strongest mom, sacrificing myself in order to prove what to who? I don't know. I went and got me a therapist because I was like, it's about that time. Yes, it's about that time. I gotta go talk to a professional, somebody who's licensed for this, because I ain't got a license for this. I've survived and I've thrived, but it's not because I have not been resourceful and recognize when I am at the point where this is not my realm. Okay, God has blessed therapists, doctors, all kinds of stuff. God has blessed other people with their skills and their ability to help the rest of mankind, and I am sure enough gonna take advantage of that. So all of that said, there were a few lessons, so I don't know, maybe I'll just store up some shows or something, because there was a few lessons and we ain't got the time. But the one that sticks out to me right now is calm down. Just calm down. I know there's this joke, you know, when in the history of telling a woman to calm down has she ever calmed down? And I used to think that's so hilarious. Like, don't tell me to calm down. And I really don't like to be told to calm down. But sometimes I gotta tell myself, calm the fuck down. Just calm down. I feel like I've been standing in the hallway for so long that it's been a couple years now since I've recognized a change was necessary and that I was actually gonna make the move to make the change. I was talking to a friend yesterday, and we were talking about how long my husband and I have not been together, or ex-husbands. See, look, still messing around. Calling him my husband. Definitely ain't messing around with him, though. But, you know, it's been a couple years. My divorce has been final, almost a year. We're like a couple weeks off of a year. And separation happened, you know, a year before that. And then the year before that, that entire year was the recognition that change needed to happen. That, you know, the marriage is probably not something that's going to continue to work for me. Or that I'm going to continue to work at, honestly. So when you, it's like leaving a gang. Or the old school notion of leaving a gang. Just because you're ready to move on doesn't mean everything and everyone around you is ready to move on. So there's a lot of struggle. There's a lot of resistance. There's, you know, the fight against the things that you have set in place that is so used to you being present. And, you know, you removing your presence from not just people, but situations and routines. You know, it's not as easy to break free and just start anew. There's a lot of cleaning up that needs to be done. A lot of, you know, brushing the crumbs off the table. It's just, it's a lot. And what I'm realizing for my life is that it's not just that one area. It's so many. It's so many. It's not just, you know, my personal life with being single, being a single mom. But, you know, working for my sponsor, that's also going through some transition where I can clearly see that this is the end of this relationship. It's a lot. It's a lot. And it can force some anxiousness. I'm not the most patient person to begin with. I'll tell you that. I'm not. In some situations, I can be. But when it gets to recognizing change, I'm ready. Well, I believe I'm ready. And I just want to go. But I got to clean up where I last at. I got to do some things, tie some strings. I also have to prepare for where I'm going. So I have to calm down. I have to spend my time doing what needs to be done in order to make the smoothest transition possible. And I know that in some areas, it's not going to be smooth. But there are some areas that I can control and make it so. Preparation is necessary. And when I have the time and the space, see, when I moved out my last house, I didn't feel like I had the time and space, but I did. You know, when you get a buyer for your house and you get under contract, there's a forecasted closing date. And because I was so afraid that the deal was not going to go through, I couldn't believe that it was actually happening. I don't think I took that date to heart. And so we got very close. Now, you know, I spent a lot of money, you know, junking stuff and cleaning the house up and getting ready for sale. So I think because the house was so big and we had so many things that I felt like there wasn't much else to do. And, you know, I underestimated what it was going to take for me to pack the rest of the house up. Like, let's just be honest with myself. I underestimated what it would take. Not to mention that it wasn't until like 2 weeks before closing that the home inspection was finally done. And then when the home inspection was done, there were some things we needed to iron out within the contract. So there was a little back and forth, and that took a little bit. And then the appraiser didn't come by until like well after a week after the home inspector. So we were pushing it, and it was getting close. And it's, you know, this is not anything I scheduled. So, you know, the buyers had to schedule it. And so we were getting close, so close that the Monday, the week of closing, the appraiser had yet to submit their appraisal report. And closing was supposed to be on Thursday. So I was like, there's no way that this thing is happening on Thursday. There's no way. They got to reschedule it. It'll be another week out, maybe 2 weeks out. The preparation is just not there. What I didn't know is, no, the preparation was there on their part. The preparation wasn't there on mine. Because no one has suggested no other date. So in hindsight, I'm like, girl, just stick to the date they gave you and move accordingly. But, you know, it was a major change for me. I'd been in that house since 2007. It's the only house my daughter knows. I wasn't anxious to pack up the rest of the stuff and make it as though we didn't live there. Because if the sale went through and it took me another 2 weeks to find a buyer, then it would take me another 3 to 4 weeks to close. And, you know, I wasn't financially in a spot where we can pack up everything, move everything out the house and stay somewhere else while we're trying to sell our house. That definitely was not my situation. So I was like, no, I'm going to have to live here. And I probably could have lived there more minimally than I had envisioned, but I wasn't moving. So I had made, you know, arrangements to look at houses on Wednesday. And I just did stuff because I was in disbelief. I didn't believe that everything I had asked for was actually starting to unfold and come into fruition, because it seemed late and I wasn't moving. And Tuesday morning came, and first of all, Monday, even though the appraisal wasn't back, I got the call saying it's confirmed that the closing is on Thursday. And I was like, wait, what? That was Monday afternoon. I was like, wait, what? So now I got to pack up and move everything by Thursday, forgetting that I had an appointment on Wednesday to see some houses, Lord knows. I mean, I was straight panic mode. It's a 4-bedroom house with a full basement. It just straight panic mode. It was over 2,500 square feet, just as clinked out as it looked to me. There was still so much shit. It was like, oh my God. You know, my ex-husband would not, you know, he didn't care about what help I may need, didn't need, whatever. He wanted to know where his check was, what day is closing, and how much is my check. Those were the text messages that I got, which just adds another layer to push you to the edge. You know, I made it through. I, you know, was calling moving companies. Like, I can't even say companies, child. I went to Google and was like, look, this one right here, moves and stores. Okay, let's call these people. Let's do this. That's just what I did. That's what I did. Like, first set. I probably could have found someone cheaper. I was in panic mode. Let's call these junk people. One of my girlfriends suggested, like, I'm like, I'm going to have some furniture. I'm going to junk, because this furniture I ain't want to take with me. But I ain't have time to, you know, send it to Goodwill, send it to Salvation Army, have somebody come look at it, appraise it. I ain't had time for all of that. It had to go. So I can't even tell you everything that they did with everything. Some things, you know, I had a dining room table that they ended up having to cut up, saw it up. You know, I don't care what you do with it, because I ain't keeping it. So it was a lot. And then, you know, having my little meltdown on Tuesday night, because I still want to look at houses on Wednesday, because I'm feeling panicky. And I'm like, I don't have a secure place to go. I'm not even under contract on a new house. Like, I need a house. I need to at least be active in that search, because I wasn't prepared for this portion. I damn sure need to be prepared for the next. And reaching out to someone who I hadn't physically talked to in so long, who we have mutual friends. So, you know, we're friendly and we love on each other when we see each other, but, you know, it's not regular conversation. But God, she came through. She sat at my house while the movers were there and allowed me to travel to a whole nother state to go look at some houses. Honey, when I tell you, God was working even in my panic. There was no need to panic. He had me, and I just needed to calm down. You know, I was feeling like I couldn't think straight because I needed to calm down. Because if I didn't see houses that day, it might have been okay. I could have just canceled my appointment, honestly. Just cancel it. Wait till everything is done. Just cancel it. But I was anxious. I was like, I need to go. I got to go. Thankfully, one of the houses I saw that day ended up being a house that I fell in love with and I put a bid on. But I was panic mode, for real. Just panic. And because, like, you, that last minute, the movers couldn't come Thursday morning. The only appointment they had was on Wednesday. So, you know, that cut me a day short. So I wasn't ready. They took all that they could take to storage, but I still had a lot of stuff that I had to pack in my car and take to my daughter's Gigi house to store boxes. And that took me about 6-7 trips of stuff in my car full that I had to store at Gigi's house. Thank God for Gigi that she got a house for me to store stuff in and lives around the corner. Because I wanted to stay not far because I wanted to keep my daughter in school. And I just, there was so many things that I need to be adamant about, you know, still continue to work for my sponsor, not having a lot of time that I could take off. So, you know, managing that, not having, you know, moving days or any extra kind of days that I could really take to address what it was that I needed. And not, honestly, not having a present partner to lean on was difficult. It was difficult. Thank God for my friends. Thank God. Because near or far, they came through. They figured it out for me. So they came through, talked me through, helped me through, prayed me through, good thought me through. And some of them physically showed up. So that was cool. That was cool. And I was moving stuff in Gigi's house and saying, you know, once we get to the hotel, I'm going to come back for the boxes of clothes. And, you know, and she's like, hotel, wait, we haven't talked. And we hadn't talked because Pop-Pop had a stroke. And I was like, I dare not ask them if we could come stay with them. All the things that they're dealing with, trying to get Pop-Pop ready, like the plate is much too heavy over there. But Gigi was like, nah, you staying over here. We gonna figure this out. Cause no, you and the baby, you're coming here. So thank God for Gigi. We stayed in the hotel for a couple of days because it was already planned and my daughter was looking forward to it. And it was like a staycation for her. So I go ahead and let her have that experience. But we was there for a good 5 days. But then we came and we stayed at Gigi's house. And we've been here ever since. And although this is not my place, not my spot, I have a place to lay my head. I have a place to bathe. I have a place to eat, to cook. You know, I ain't gonna cook that much. But you know, I have the room. It's a lot of room down here that we are blessed to have and blessed to move about. We're not far from my daughter's school. She can get up and go to school every day until we figure out our next steps. The day after closing, I got the call that my offer was accepted on the house that I wanted. So the pieces not only were coming together, but are still coming together. They're forming. And I have a tendency that when I'm in transition, because I have the vision of what the next step is, I'm anxious to get to it. But sometimes the vision is just there to let me know that there's light at the end of the tunnel, not necessarily because it has to be right here, right now. There's preparation that has to happen. And had I not been so focused on that vision forward, it might have dawned on me, yo, pack up your damn house. You know, the house that I bought, I believe it's for me. And I always say it was for me, got my name on it, and nobody could take away from me. So if that's the case, you know, if I had to wait 2-3 days before I saw the house, that should have been okay. Now, did it happen to work out? Should have, but like, I might not have had to be as stressed as I was. I might not have to be so close to the brink. I may not have to be on edge. You know, same thing in relationship wise, you know, getting these cycles where it's like, oh, you know, particularly when winter's coming, right? I'm stereotypical in that manner. You know, when winter's coming, just like, oh, you know, I just want some consistency, somebody to hold me by the fireplace at night. Sometimes I ain't even got a damn fireplace, but you know, you be dreaming real crazy or whatever. And you get anxious and you start interviewing. Right? Cuffing season is among us, right? You start interviewing and your anxiousness helps you make bad choices. There's a little red flag, you know, the whole thing. Have you been on Twitter and you see all the red flags? Like, it's a little red flag and you're just like, it ain't that red. It's kind of orange. You be like, maybe that flag kind of yellow. Slow down. Calm down. But, you know, it's just for a season anyway, you know, it ain't going to be no serious anyway. And then, like, you move forward and then you meet the person or you sitting down to dinner and you be like, what am I doing? Or maybe you make it through the dinner and you make it through whatever and you get home and you're like, what am I doing? What am I doing? Slow down. You're speeding. Sometimes you just need a nut, right? That post-nut clarity make you be like, oof, what happened? Why was it so serious 10 minutes ago? Why was everything so catastrophic? It's like, oh, I needed a nut. Yes, let me clear my mind. Next time, break out a damn toy. But either way, calm down. Write it down if you have to. Talk to a therapist if you have to. Talk to a friend, whoever. but try to figure out a way to calm down. Understand that just do the work. You know, I know there's a sense of urgency in your spirit and you want this dream to come to fruition. You want the next step to happen. You've worked so hard. It's been so long. Try not to focus on how long you've been waiting or how long it's taking, and use the time to prepare. Calm down and prepare. Be ready for the blessing. Be ready for the move. Be ready for the change. Panic, that's not the thing that's going to allow you to enjoy the process. The process is difficult. Process is hard, but it's necessary. But there's still fruit in it, and there's still things that, you know, are helpful and enjoyable if we just calm down. I always say resistance causes pain, and I think that resistance, that anxiousness, comes from resistance. And the resistance is we are fighting against how long it's taking. We're fighting against how much work it's taking. And sometimes if you just like recognize that this is what it is, and stop focusing on the fact that it's taken so long or that I've worked so hard, and just put my head down and do the work and take the time and figure out what I can do with it and how I can make it the most fruitful and what do I have the time to do, and let's do that, then maybe it won't seem so long. Maybe even though we know we worked hard, we're like, oh no, but there was purpose in that, because there's something not only that I could use when I get there, but when I've been there a while, there's still something that I can reach back and use because I was prepared everything in advance. So I still have some stuff. So fruit from that transition is still feeding me several months down the line because I use that time wisely. And that's where I'm trying to transition my own mind to say, well, use the time wisely. The time is going to pass regardless. Some of this stuff, you know, it takes 30 days to close for the most part. That's what it is. So harping on the fact that it's taking 30 days is not going to take it less than 30 days. It's not. So what can I do with the time? Pack up, prepare, decide where I'm going to put stuff. You know, get an interior designer. What is the house going to look like? What's the room going to look like? What kind of feel do I want? How do I want to feel when I walk through the door every day? You know, what am I going to feed? What's my office space going to be? Am I going to have an office space? What am I going to, you know, Sadia's birthday's coming. Maybe I should prepare for her birthday and think about that. Thanksgiving is coming. Maybe I should, you know, plan for that so that when I do move in transition, it doesn't become cumbersome like, oh man, I just moved and now I got to da 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 da. Nah, because that's already prepared. I already did that. I already thought through that. I already prepared for that. I already purchased what I need to purchase. I already moved what I need to move. There's other stuff that's happening. You know, I'm not big on celebrating Halloween, but my daughter is. She want to dress up. She want to do, you know, well, I'm focusing on the fact that it's taking so long. Don't forget to be present with her. Be present. I said, Pop-Pop had a stroke. Be present. Wash some dishes. Bring Gigi coffee every morning. Do the grocery shopping. Be useful to the people who are loving on you. I could use the time to be present. It's hard for me to focus. It's hard for me to write. But rather than beating myself up because I can't write, that's a waste of time. Figure out what else to do with the time. When you're ready, it'll happen. Things will happen. But especially when you have an end date, you know when the light is coming. Calm down. Calm down. We give ourselves this false sense of urgency. Everything has to happen right now, this way. And sometimes that's how we fumble. That's how we like, oh, shoot, you know, I'm not ready. I'm not ready, because we convinced that it has to happen right now, this moment. That's not always the case. Calm down, prepare, and step into that blessing. And step into it confidently. Don't question yourself. Don't question, am I really ready? Can I really take this on? Can I? No, because you prepared, right? All that waiting, you prepared. All right, soapbox done. All right, that was on my mind heavy. And it was really, honestly, a note to self. If you got fruit from it, God bless you. Thank you. I'm so happy to share it with you. But really, that's a note to self. Calm down. If you want to support, please pick up any of my books on Amazon under the writer Phoenix Ash. You already know what it is. I write romance. I write drama. You know, I have Delectable, A Sweet Romance. This is a great time of year to read that book. Oof. Don't mind. The cover for the paperback is different for the cover for Kindle. Just a little something different that I did for that one. I just really love both covers. So I was like, I gotta figure out how to use both. you know, Cookies and Crumbles and Soil Sheets. Those are related novelettes, so, or novellas. So, you know, if you want to pick up both of those, that's Soil Sheets and Cookies and Crumbles. Read Soil Sheets first and then read Cookies and Crumbles. Well, you know what? I ain't even going to tell you. You actually can read them out of order, but that's how I wrote them. So, whatever. In Her Makeup, my very first novel. Whew. That's my heart right there, right? So it's available on Amazon. It's available on Kindle. It's available on Audible as well. So if you're an Audible listener, please check out In Her Makeup. Go listen to that. It's drama. It's great for a long drive. Like, great. Or like, if you're going to listen to pieces, like in the morning before you go to work, like have somebody tell you a story. I think it's kind of dope. You know, just thank you for constantly investing in my love, investing in my dreams, investing in whatever it is that I have to say. Thank you for being present. Thank you for giving me the platform and just, you know, sharing with me your journey. You know, I love the DMs. I love the messages. I love you guys shouting me out on Twitter, telling me listen to the podcast. I love that. I so appreciate that. That's why I retweet it. Not to show off and be like, look, people are listening to my podcast. I mean, that's part of it. Come on, I ain't gonna lie. But it's because I'm like, oh my God, look, somebody's listening to me, listening to what I have to say. And I definitely appreciate that. So until the next time when we can exchange power, peace.